Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on where you're joining us from. And welcome to today's webinar, BRCGS Rules Review, Standards Launching in 2021, and the 2021 Conference. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety, Inc., and I'll be facilitating today's webinar and offering technical support to our speakers. Today, we're very excited to have two guests from BRCGS for the presentation, and I will be introducing them to you in a little bit. All right, and we're going to go on and introduce our first speaker today, and that first speaker is Paul DeMarin. He is the Senior Vice President of Food Safety and Supply Chain at PJRFSI. Paul joined us back in January of this year and has over 35 years of experience in the hospitality, service, and retail agri-food sectors. Before he came to PJRFSI, Paul worked for 15 years in the certification industry with clients in every sector from food safety and supply chain to brand protection and quality. Paul has also worked for many years in management system certification. And before that, Paul was a professional chef and a consultant for over 20 years in major hotel chains, restaurants, private golf courses, and food service organizations. So I'm going to hand things over to Paul, and you can take it away whenever you're ready.
Great. Thank you very much, Amy. Welcome, everyone, to our webinar. I know we have a packed house today, so it's just absolutely wonderful to welcome you all today. And we wish you all a very happy holiday moving forward. As Amy mentioned, my name is Paul, and I oversee our food safety and supply chain division here. We have a lot that we're going to talk about here today during the webinar. Just before we do that, I'm going to give a very short overview, as I always do, about our organization. And I also have the pleasure of welcoming Jessica and Paula from BRCGS today to discuss the upcoming standard rules, as well as their 2021 conference, which we're all looking forward to. So moving forward, let me just tell you a little bit about the business. We were founded originally by Perry Johnson Registrars in 1994, and we've been doing certification and registration from, you know, the very, very beginning. We achieved ANAB accreditation in 1995, and then we continued expanding for the next 10 years into our international markets, such as Brazil, Japan, Spain, Italy, Canada, Thailand, etc. During that time, we also attained our UCAS accreditation and then continued expanding overseas further in United Kingdom and China. In 2005, our PJ&A division was founded, which is a healthcare technology company, and we specialize in medical coding and transcription, telemedicine, virtual scribing, et cetera. In 2012 is when our company PJRFSI was born, and that was as the demand of third-party certification in the industry for food safety standards such as GFSI. We're headquartered in Troy, Michigan, and we're certainly a global organization. We've really been, you know, our part of our family of companies is, you know, in the registration, testing, and certification arena. We have offices globally around the world, and today we're conducting audits for, you know, many standards. We have about 30 in our food portfolio. But everything from HACCP to GFSI, organic, gluten-free, social responsibility, CTPAT, and even the FDA audits. So now, you know, over the last 8 years, we've really worked with organizations in essentially every sector in the industry. Everyone from production and distribution to, you know, supply chain, processors, farms, retailers, et cetera. We work with all of our organizations to, you know, help them continuously improve their program, but also to protect their brand. And we're very much committed to the, you know, food safety certification space for our clients. We want to make sure that we deliver a you know, a service that goes above and beyond what is out there today in the industry. You know, we have about 460 auditors globally in about 60 countries who not only understand the regulations and requirements or regulatory requirements of those countries, but also equally important, the language and the culture of those countries. We have currently maintained a very high customer service rating with our clients, and we're very proud of that. So now moving on, our services, we have, you know, we essentially break them out into four key areas, auditing and certification to third-party accredited standards like GFSI, BRCGS as an example, or the family of ISO standards. Excuse me, we conduct a lot of second-party audits for our customers. That would be all of the unaccredited audits that we've written and developed the protocol on our end to audit, such as GMP for good manufacturing, good distribution, packaging, HACCP, cannabis and hemp standards, et cetera. And then we also do a lot of customer-specific audit programs where a good example of that would be McDonald's. They have an SQMS program, DQMP for distribution. And we're one of the approved CBs who conduct audits to their standard that they've written and developed. Now, of course, we also have a great deal of training solutions now. We actually started launching our training program a few months ago, and we've been having a lot of great success with that. We've partnered with an organization called PCR Corporation. I know Goranka and Rajko very much, and they're certainly a great organization who are approved training providers. So we're very happy with that partnership. Now, if you take a look at our you know, portfolio of food, as I mentioned, we have about 30 different programs that we audit. Right now, today, many companies, you know, they're subjected to many different types of audits in the industry. Some could be accredited, like GFSI. Others are unaccredited. Some are client-specific, government-regulated, retailer-mandated. The list goes on and on. And as I mentioned, we do work with most organizations across all of those programs. So I guess, you know, on top of that, we're also recognized to conduct many government type programs like FSMA, FSVP, or even the VQIP program for the Voluntary Qualified Importer Program, where we were the first accredited certification body. Now, this is just a snapshot of some of the global accreditations and schemes that recognize Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety as an organization that can be trusted and is highly regulated, and helps, you know, being a part of these accreditations helps us to maintain the quality of our work as well. And on many occasions, like we're doing today with BRCGS, we partner with these groups to make sure that we have the most up-to-date information that we can give to you, our customers. And we have a whole series of webinars coming up in the new year as well. So that's it for me. I am just gonna take it to the end and say thank you everybody for your time today. It's been certainly some great news on the vaccine front, and we're doing everything that we can to make sure all of our auditors and our staff and our customers are protected during this time as well. So we're certainly looking forward to turning the corner next year in 2021, and I wish everybody a very safe and happy holiday. So I'll pass it back to you, Amy.
Great. Thank you so much, Paul. For everyone else who's joined us since the beginning of the webinar, if you missed it, thank you for joining us and taking the time of your day to join the webinar. If you have any questions that come up during the presentation, go ahead and type those right into the questions tab of the GoToWebinar dashboard. You don't have to wait until the end of the presentation to ask questions, and we'll be getting to as many of those questions as we can at the end of the slides. All right, so let's get right into introducing our guest speakers today, and that will be BRCGS was founded in the 90s by retailers who wanted to harmonize food safety standards across the supply chain. Today, BRCGS is globally recognized across both food and non-food categories and operate the most rigorous third-party certification scheme of its type. And from BRCGS, I am very excited to be introducing you to Jessica Burke and Paula Parejo. With over 18 years of experience, Jessica began her career in an environmental and food testing laboratory. After that, she held various roles in quality assurance and food safety in the food manufacturing industry, where she helped multiple companies strengthen their food safety systems and achieve GFSI certification. In her current role, Jessica has overall responsibility for the BRCGS Americas technical team and is the technical specialist for the gluten-free certification program, as well as the plant-based global standard. Paula is a graduate from the University of Waterloo and has taken her honors art psychology degree and transferred her skills to the business world. As a marketing strategist for the BRCGS team, Paula supports the Americas region and partnerships and marketing initiatives. Whether it's webinars, case studies, events, articles, or social media posts, Paula is your marketing contact. You may also recognize Paula's voice from BRCGS's podcast, Confidently Compliant, a food safety podcast, where she interviews specialists in the industry to learn the why in food safety. So it's my great pleasure to turn you all over into the capable hands of Jessica and Paula. And Jessica, you have the mouse for the slides.
Thank you for that introduction, Amy. And thank you for giving us this opportunity to share with our audience some of the exciting things that we've been working on. So the fully unannounced audit program has been in operation for a number of years now. And we know there are many benefits to this program. Traditionally, unannounced audits have provided companies with an opportunity to demonstrate their confidence in their systems and procedures to the extent that they're willing to subject these to unannounced scrutiny. Over time, the number of specifiers asking for unannounced audits has increased as it provides them with greater confidence in their sites and suppliers' systems and overall culture. So GFSI has also recognized the importance of unannounced audits and have introduced the requirement for at least one mandatory unannounced audit every 3 years. Other GFSI benchmark standards, such as SQF and FSSC 22000, already operate a 1 in 3 unannounced audit programs, and we will all need to introduce this program during 2021. We recently published a position statement to provide guidance on the new unannounced audit program and detail on how it will be implemented. This program will not affect the fully unannounced program, which will continue to operate the same as always. And while many of the elements of the programs are similar, there are some differences, and I suggest reviewing the detail of BRCGS 079 to understand all of the requirements in detail. The new protocol comes into effect February 1st, 2021 for Food 8 and Packaging 6. And May 1st, 2021, First Origin Distribution 4, which is in line with the launch date. While standards like the gluten-free certification program and plant-based aren't GFSI benchmarked, and therefore this isn't a requirement for those standards per se, they will be affected since most applicable sites have combined audits. Therefore, it's really important to consider production for those types of products in the planning phase. So I don't intend today to go through the full detail of the new protocol, but in summary, all sites must have one unannounced audit within a 3-year period. The unannounced audit can take place anytime during the 4 months prior to the audit due date, and your certification body must inform you within 3 months after the last audit to ensure that the sites know if an unannounced audit will take place in the coming year. The procedures and content of the audit will follow normal standard protocol, including the management of non-conformances, the audit report, etc. And grades will also be in accordance with normal protocol. Certificate expiry dates will be based on the expiry date of the previous certificate, plus 6 or 12 months, depending on the grade. And certificate expiry dates, I've already covered that. So moving on then to illustrate sort of what a typical audit cycle might look like. Here's a quick example. So let's just say a site had their audit June 1st, 2020, resulting in an audit due date of June 1st, 2021. So that would be when their next audit is due. They have their next audit May 20th and 21st of 2021, which falls within the audit window 28 days prior to the June 1st due date. Within 3 months after the audit, the certification body informs the site that their next audit will be unannounced. The audit will then take place anytime within the 4 months prior to the audit due date. So the unannounced takes place March 1st to 2nd, 2022. Then in 2023 and 2024, they go back to an announced audit with the audits taking place in May. And then they have another unannounced audit in March 2025. So I just want you to notice that the audit due date never changes, and the unannounced audit must take place within 4 months prior to the audit due date. So that's slightly different from the voluntary, fully unannounced audit program, where the audit must take place within 9 months prior to the audit due date. So we've actually shortened the requirements there. So I've given you a brief summary of the new protocol, but what I really want to talk to you about today is how unannounced audits can actually benefit your organization. Traditionally, this has been a topic that seems to elicit fear in people. However, I'd like to quell that fear and demonstrate to you that it's not as bad as you think. We've been operating a voluntary unannounced audit program for the last 6 years. And there were some initial concerns from sites about things like logistical issues, management availability, and effect on grading. However, these have largely been overcome. We've also found that it usually has a positive impact on management culture, increasing the sense of shared responsibility for food safety. So some time ago, we went in search of the truth around unannounced audits. We wanted to understand the real impact they were having on sites. So we did this by performing a survey of the sites involved in the traditional unannounced audit program. We requested information from all the sites involved, and we obtained results from 283, or approximately 25% of the participating sites. The survey was anonymous. 84% of the respondents undertook unannounced audits at the customer's request, and 42% had more than one unannounced audit. So we found there were some clear challenges identified. For example, sites with seasonal production, non-consistent production, or variable schedules were required to periodically update their status with their certification bodies to ensure effective audit timing could be planned. Another issue was with sites in very remote locations or with limited services. In this case, it was crucial for CBs to ensure enough information was obtained from the sites to plan the logistics of the audit. It also became very clear that the accuracy and quantity of the information provided by the site to the CB were critically important in ensuring a successful audit. Interestingly, in terms of non-conformities and grades, the study showed that sites using the unannounced program were 9% more likely to achieve an A grade than those opting for the announced audits. This is probably due to the enhanced preparation and more robust food safety culture adopted by the site in readiness for the unannounced audit. We found there was no significant trend in the area of non-conformities. They were typically similar in both announced and unannounced audits. Overall, sites generally felt there was a benefit to food safety in undertaking an unannounced audit, with limited added potential or realized cost and minor negative commercial impact. It was found that audit duration and thoroughness of the inspection were not impacted, and about 50% of sites actually felt the unannounced program was beneficial to their site, while 36% felt it had no benefit and only 13% thought there was a negative impact. Overwhelmingly, 85% of sites considered that the approach didn't alter their approach to food safety, and 50% of sites thought the unannounced audit provided a better reflection of their operation. When asked about continuing with an unannounced audit program, 42% of sites said they would choose to continue. When asked about the value of unannounced audits for their own suppliers, 36% would prefer their own suppliers to undertake unannounced audits. We also received a number of overall comments in response to the survey, and there were some major themes that came out of the comments. Sites felt that the unannounced program strengthened their food safety systems overall due to the fact that they were required to be audit ready at all times. They also felt that the unannounced audit was a more accurate reflection of the site's systems and culture, and felt increased pride about receiving positive results. Another theme we saw was one of teamwork and responsibility sharing among different departments. So rather than relying solely on the technical team, sites felt that other teams were much more engaged. The unannounced audit program challenged teams to ensure everyone was knowledgeable and played their part. And again, the same themes come through. Always audit ready, more realistic snapshot, more staff engagement, and higher standards. These are all things we should be striving for. So in conclusion, before entering into the unannounced audit program, sites were faced with a great deal of uncertainty and fear. They were concerned about what kinds and how many nonconformities they would receive and how that would affect their grade. They also had concerns about key staff not being available at the time of the audit and the potential costs associated with ensuring appropriately trained staff. Lastly, they worried about scheduling and the risk of missed audits. After just one round in the unannounced audit program, sites were able to realize the benefits of making their systems more robust and increasing staff capabilities, which in turn promoted a stronger food safety culture and a sense of ownership throughout the organization. So although the survey was conducted specifically in relation to the voluntary unannounced audit program, I think the results and themes that came out of it can be easily applied to the 1 in 3 mandatory unannounced audit program as well. I think it's important to see this as an opportunity to improve food safety culture by encouraging an always audit ready mentality. One way of encouraging this is by making food safety part of the roles and responsibilities for each department. By now, we all know that food safety is not just the responsibility of the technical team. It must be a team effort in order to be successful. Incorporating food safety into all roles will encourage a sense of responsibility and accountability, and ultimately, good food safety practices will become habit. Internal audits are also a huge key success factor and should be used as a tool for improvement and the development of a strong food safety culture. Make your internal audits work for you by investing in training and development of internal auditing skills and by challenging your systems, performing robust root cause analysis, and implementing effective corrective actions and preventive measures. The stronger your internal audit program, the better your food safety management system will be, and in turn, you'll be more prepared for an unannounced audit. It's also really important to develop as much backup as possible. Doing so will ensure that no matter when an auditor shows up, there'll be plenty of knowledge and expertise throughout the organization to guarantee a successful audit. And lastly, view certification as a tool for driving food safety and culture, not as the end in itself. So what I mean by that is certification should not just be about receiving a certificate. Audits should be welcomed as a way of challenging your food safety systems and driving continuous improvement. It shouldn't be scary or negative. It needs to be used as a tool. So before I hand it over to Paula, I thought I'd give you a quick update of what's coming in 2021. We've recently launched issue 2 of our ethical trade and responsible sourcing standard. We've got a number of pilot audits lined up in multiple regions and expect there to be a lot of activity around the standard. Our food safety culture excellence module has been in operation for some time now and has provided a lot of value to food sites. We know that culture is not only important to food sites, but in all organizations, and it's a key component of product safety. So this is why it's now an element of the packaging standard as well as storage and distribution. As we have also modified the culture excellence module so that it is applicable for those standards, offering sites a way to measure and improve their product safety culture. The storage and distribution standard has been revised and issue 4 is now available. Auditor and sites training is available from now over the next few months, and audits to the new standard will begin in May. And lastly, the rewrite of agents and brokers has just begun, and issue 3 is due to be published in October of 2021. And now I will hand it over to Paula to talk to you about Food Safety Americas. Paula, it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And thank you again, Paul and Amy, for inviting Jessica and myself. So moving forward with Food Safety Americas. So Food Safety Americas, in case you don't already know, is an event dedicated to the supply chain and those interested in connecting with professionals in the food safety industry. So the event, of course, is hosted by us, BRCGS, which, as we've been introduced, we are a GFSI benchmark program owner, well known for our food standard, but we do have standards across the supply chain, which basically means that we have pretty good representation across the supply chain in the content and with the type of people who attend the event as well. Food Safety Americas is one of many events hosted by BRCGS. You might have heard of Food Safety Europe, Leaders of Tomorrow, all events that give people the opportunity to connect with like-minded professionals or leaders within the industry. This year, we do have a new twist. Food Safety Americas will be delivered virtually, and that's pretty much based on the state of the world today. We as an organization wanted to ensure the safety of delegates, speakers, and our own staff, which is why we chose to eliminate the element of travel under these unprecedented times. So we are utilizing an excellent platform, which I will be demonstrating later today. But I hope this presentation will give you an idea of the amazing learning and networking opportunities that you can experience right at home. So let's begin. So when I talk about demographics, as I mentioned, we have our main events. Within a 3-year span, we have collected a little bit of data to kind of get an idea of who actually attends. When wondering the big question, who will be there? Like, you know, we were considering our virtual event. This goes across the globe. This would have been a representation of most of our physical events. So we have quite a lot of people that come from the UK, US and Canada, Europe, quite a few from Asia as well, Latin America, Middle East, Australia, et cetera, et cetera. And in terms of the seniority level, we are looking at leaders. A lot of leaders like to come here. So if that's the type of room that you want to be in, that's certainly something that you can consider. Some people do ask, why is it called Food Safety Americas if everyone is welcome across the globe? So it's not that it's limited to just North and South American sites or professionals. It's just that the content is tailored to this audience. So all the speakers are from the Americas region, which helps bring a strong perspective of trending topics that are relevant to this part of the world. But if you want to build your business connections in the Americas, attending an event like Food Safety Americas is a great way to get to know the players. So when speaking about the players, if you can take a look at the types of brands who've participated in our main events, this is what we have. This could have been attendees, supporters, or speakers, but given that BRCGS are a rigorous program owner who can support organizations across the supply chain of large, medium, and small sizes, we do know a name or two that tend to be a little bit on the bigger side. So when you see the attendance rates to the right representing our 2019 and 2020 events, these figures are from physical events. So this is kind of a limitation that you would have with a main venue event because you do have limitations of how many people can be in a physical space. Virtually, we do not have a capacity cap. So given the openness, lower costs per ticket, no travel, a lot of global access, we could be seeing quite higher numbers when, in terms of the attendees rates. It all just will be based on the amount of support that we get and the people that are interested. So thinking about your business objectives, I'll just leave you with some questions. Are these the type of brands that you would like to be in the same room with? Would you want to learn from leaders in these organizations or have a conversation with their representatives? If you're thinking yes, that might be a great option to look into. So taking a look at speakers and content, I'm going to speak about last year's presenters. So when I take the time to really think about what does our content represent, I came up with this terminology. So firstly, a lot of our speakers are reputable. They have lucrative careers in the industry and extensive educational and research-based backgrounds. Take, for example, Emily Greep. She was a PhD manager of food safety at United Fresh Produce Association. Emily spoke about examining how whole genome sequencing is being used to trace the source of pathogens, which gained a lot of interest from attendees because she was able to take the practicum of the science research and bring it into a day-to-day context. Or John Spink, who is the director and assistant professor of the Food Fraud Initiative of Michigan State University. Food fraud is, of course, a hot topic. It continues to be a hot topic, especially during COVID-19. And this also got a lot of interest. When I say thought-provoking, panel debates are a great way to amp up conversations and topics that really matter. And although that they can bring up some controversial points, it's really great to understand different perspectives to make everything objective. Weldon Williams, for example, was an engaging panelist who spoke about sustainability, ethics, and food safety with our global head of the ethics standard, Michael Wilson. And our own Jessica Burke also chaired a conversation with Michael Kramer and Daniel Herzog about allergen procedures to minimize risk and ensure confidence. These also had high engagement, but a lot of follow-up questions from the audience as they wanted to learn from the different perspectives that each individual is able to contribute in these panels. When I say the words about trending and innovation, the first speakers that come to mind to me are Dan Anglin and Makisha Cunningham. Dan gave a very exciting presentation about safety with cannabis and food. And Makisha, of course, was speaking about food safety audit schemes and initiatives. Between the two of them, these topics were very different, but brought forward new concepts from specialists in their field. And a lot of people loved to see what was new and exciting. And when we talk about relevance, many speakers such as Frank, Saeed, and Noel all spoke about security, food safety culture, and the big impact of COVID-19 on the supply chain and their response to them. These topics were, of course, catered to what's going on in the world today, but I think that the major benefit of touching base on these topics was to showcase that it's relevant, it's happening today, and it matters. And so this is the type of content that we really like to focus on, and this is why we are using a regionalized perspective of creating the content. So what will the event include? You might be thinking, okay, that's really great to hear about the content, but what else is there? Awards. Awards is a really big plus for the industry events because this is a great way to really showcase your team and show where you shine. We know that our standards have a lot of stuff that you have to do to achieve them and to achieve them well. So it's good for you to take a step back and really look back at your accomplishments, especially when things can be a bit more challenging like in this year. We do have 6 award categories: Site of the Year, Approved Training Partner of the Year, Certification Body of the Year, Auditor of the Year, Professional of the Year, and our newest category, which is Star Performer of the Year. The Star Performer is a reflection of the tough year that we just faced. People had to be agile, and we know that there were many members of the community who stepped up to the plate and who really shone. So it's time to give their names, tell us why you think that they're such great team players, and get them some free publicity. So this is a really great way to, again, put something towards your name or your company's name when it comes to networking. In terms of networking, so this is a given, but just so we're clear, there will be available breakout rooms and sessions throughout the event, and you can make one-to-one appointments with individuals on the platform. It can be a little bit intimidating with taking a virtual perspective, as many people think, oh my goodness, it's virtual, I don't get to go up and talk to someone. Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can actually network, and I invite you to chat with your sales team as they can teach you lots of things. But we also do have a podcast from Confidently Compliant that talks about strong networking practices, and I invite you to listen. Treasure Hunt, just something fun, great way to test your industry knowledge and win some prizes, and the supporters pages. So similar to any physical event, we do have exhibitor spaces, and they are virtual exhibitor spaces, which have unique offerings for you as an individual to explore. So benefits of participation, there's quite a few options here, but just to highlight the main benefits of participating as an individual or as an organization, you are going to notice that they are a little bit similar. The main things that I do want to point out is that the biggest objectives is that it's going to be lower cost for you to participate, lower risk, but you're still going to get a high return of investment. The biggest thing is that you have a 6-month window to be able to utilize this exhibitor space and the platform as an independent attendee. And what I mean by that is you can actually come back to the platform, rewatch the presentations, connect with different members of the team, whether it's attendees, the speakers, or different organizations that are exhibitors, you have quite a big window, which is pretty great. If you really wanted to, you could connect with every single person on that platform, which is something you wouldn't be able to do at a physical event. So there's really lots of opportunities here to use your creativity and to get some really good marketing opportunities as well as a supporter. Privacy in the virtual event. So I know that this is always a big concern for a lot of people when I say things like, oh, you can connect to anybody. There is a level of privacy that's here. So when I say that you can have a good connection with people, it's up to the individual to personalize their own profile, and they get to decide how much they share about themselves or their contact information. Although you can utilize the platform to contact anyone via the chat, there are additional elements that you can put in there, which I will show you in the demonstration. Being a supporter. So again, I did touch base on quite a lot of this. It's going to be better audiences. It's going to be a bigger reach. The global representation is a great opportunity, of course. And again, you can have your own exhibitor space, which you will be able to really personalize to what your company want to be able to offer the attendees. And as well, you don't have any limitations of a physical venue space, which is going to be really great for your creative team. In terms of pre-event and post-event opportunities, you would be working with myself. So you would send us a message to talk to us about an exhibitor space, and I would work with you based on your specific package. For example, you might have seen our videos with Clipspringer. Clipspringer is a supporter of the Food Safety Europe conference, which we actually did a one-to-one video with them, showcasing their space, showcasing who they are. And it was a really great video and had a really good turnout. So these are just different opportunities that you can have to engage with our pretty big audience. So if you want to get your ticket, you just have to visit www.brcgs.com/events. And that's where you can get your ticket for Food Safety Americas or Food Safety Europe. And Amy, if I can get the main controls, I will now do the demonstration.
You got it. Give me just 1 second to switch things over to you. All right, Paula, you're now the presenter. If you want to go ahead and share your screen and go ahead with the demo.
Perfect. Amy, can you see my screen there?
Yep, we are good to go.
Fantastic. So everybody, this is our events platform. Now you're going to see here that I have delivery partners. I did choose this so that way you have a finished platform that you can actually see. The only difference that you're going to see from Food Safety Europe or Food Safety Americas is going to be the branding, but the main functionality is going to be the same. So when I had said earlier that you can personalize your profile, I'm going to just go here to mine just as an example. So with my profile, I brought up my own image, decided to fill out my name. You can actually choose whether or not you want to utilize showing your email address or not. This is that layer of security that I was talking about. It's really up to you how much you care to share about yourself. You can write an about section, put your website, put your contact information, locate your social media platforms, and actually choose in your privacy setting how much you want to actually showcase. You can put yourself available for video chats, chat messages, be visible in the app, et cetera, et cetera. You will have to let them request your personal data, and that's when it will showcase it on your platform. If you don't want to do those things, you can be as private as you want, but still benefit from participating in the event. I'm going to jump right into the live stream. So this is a great example here. This is where all the magic will happen. This is the chat section. So the chat section is so that way you can engage with people during the conversations and during the presentations. The Q&A is where you can go to the dedicated Q&A section to submit your questions based on the specific session. And you can write notes as well. So as you saw there, it was just starting to play. Again, this is a past event. So I was able to come back, review the notes that I might have had from here, and rewatch the same presentations, which is great. That really gives you an opportunity to sit back, relax, and just, you don't have to worry about taking notes diligently because you can always review it later. If you want to actually do some multitasking, you can do what's called show and pop out window. And right here, I can go and see the agenda, for example. when you have the agenda, you can actually star specific elements that you want to see, go to my schedule, and these are the places that you want to be. Again, lots of opportunities to take notes. If you want to take notes for a particular session, you can go there, and you could also do it in the live stream area, which I had just shown you earlier. In terms of the attendees, again, as everyone can alter their own personal profile, I'm just going to show you an example. I want to look up my colleague Manish. Manish is someone who utilized their own profile. They decided to showcase their email, video, meeting, and chat. But if I went to my colleague Jessica, her profile is slightly different. That is that specialization. Jessica was also a speaker. So you can actually separate the speakers from the regular attendees, which is great. So you can keep track of where everybody is. But realistically, you could go to any individual and send them a message. And I could easily chat to Richa. And if Richa's not on the platform that day, that's fine, because she'll actually get an email notification to say someone was trying to chat with you. So even if you don't have her direct email address, you can still, you can still communicate with her. In terms of the supporters pages, so this is actually really cool as well. I'm going to use Intact as an example. So Intact really did try to use their platform to what made sense for them. They had a description here linking back to their website for specific promotions. They use their community representatives that were here, which I can go to Ryan and I can go and chat with him for a video meeting or a chat. And I can easily see what else they have available. They have different documentation, their social media platforms. Other people have chosen to put videos. Other people have chosen to put specific offers. It's really up to you and your creative team. But the nice thing is, because it's your own space, there's very little limitation of what you can and cannot do. And it's not invasive either for the end user, which is really, really great. And again, with the treasure hunt, it's just simple little questions. There won't be anything set up here, but it would basically just be a fun little challenge that you can do, and event feedback. So there's always an opportunity for you to give us event feedback as well, which is really fantastic. So we can always keep improving. But as you can see here, everyone, this is a pretty comprehensive platform. It's pretty easy to use. It's very accessible, and you have lots of options to connect, network, and use breakout rooms and learn a lot of content. And that's pretty much everything for me. Amy, you can take controls.
All right, give me one second here and I will switch things back over to my screen. All right. There we go. All right, thank you so much for showing us that, Paula. Honestly, that's probably the best presentation platform I've ever seen. It seems super functional and very clever, especially I like the note system and the pop-out window. So based on all of what Paula had to talk about, we have one more quick polling question for you all, and that is regarding whether you'd like to attend Food Safety Americas and if you would like to be updated with more information. So go ahead and respond to that, and we will move right along to the end of the presentation so where we can start taking some of the questions that you guys have been sending in. So if you had any more questions come up, perhaps about the conference, go ahead and type those in now, and we will squeeze in as many as we can before the scheduled end time of the webinar. I'm just going to give this poll another minute or two. And just a reminder, I'm seeing a couple of questions in the question tab about slides. The slides from the presentation today will be available from pgrfsi.com, as well as a recording of the webinar. That will be on our YouTube channel. So if maybe you missed the first part of the presentation, or someone else in your organization had wanted to attend and couldn't, you'll be able to access those and share them as you wish. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close the poll. Thank you all for your participation there. And I'd like to thank Paula and Jessica for their time presenting. And we're going to roll right along into a little bit more information over here. We don't currently have the list of webinars for 2021, but we do want to get your feedback. If there's a particular topic that you'd like to see a webinar on, or maybe you know an industry expert that would make a good guest, please feel free to let us know. We're always taking suggestions and input on possible webinar topics. So just email us at pgrfsi@pgrfsi.com with any suggestions, and we should hopefully have a list of webinars coming soon. All right, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and open up the questions tab and start asking some questions of our presenters. All right, looks like we've got a good number today, so keep them coming. We will fit in as many as we can in the last 13, 14 minutes here. All right, we've got a question here from Jenna. Jenna asks, does the CB choose when the unannounced audit will be, or will the facility choose the year?
So it is the CB that chooses the year of the unannounced audit. So one of the things to remember with that is that CBs are going to need to change the way that they schedule audits, in that one third of their audits each year will need to be unannounced. So it probably wouldn't work if sites, you know, were choosing the year that they wanted their unannounced audit. It would just make scheduling much too difficult. So yes, it's the CB. But just remember that there is lots of notice. So within 3 months of your audit, your CB has to tell you whether the next audit is going to be unannounced. So they don't just, it's not a situation where you're not going to know the year that your unannounced audit is scheduled for. You will find out within 3 months of your announced audit.
All right, perfect. We have a question here. Christine would just like to clarify, if we currently do unannounced audits, we will now be required to have an unannounced audit every 3 years. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, great. Let's see. Got a series of questions here from Andrea. She's asking, will we still be certified for the full year if they come in early? I'm assuming this means if the unannounced comes in early, it will go back to the original cert date, correct? Also, if we had our last audit in September, then this next year, we cannot get an unannounced audit, correct?
Correct for all of those things. Yes.
All right.
the understanding is right. Yes.
All right. Excellent. Let's see who else we have. All right. We've got some questions here from Henry. For context, Henry's company is producing flexible packaging for food. Henry is wondering, I have scheduled announced BRC audit for next March of 2021. The probable dates for the next BRC unannounced could be March 2022, 2023, or 2024.
That's right. So your regular announced audit will take place as scheduled. Nothing will change. They can't come back and tell you now that you'll be having an unannounced audit. But then the following 3 years, so 2022, 23, or 24, that's when your unannounced audit could potentially take place.
All right. Fantastic. Tammy is wondering, just to be clear, it was said at the beginning of the slides that if we are on the announced program, we can remain on the announced program, correct?
If you are on the unannounced program.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we currently have, we've been operating a voluntary unannounced program for about 6 years now. And if you are already part of that program, nothing changes with that program. So it's all still the same rules. But if you are currently on the regular announced audit program, that's when you have to start thinking about the changes with the 1 in 3 mandatory unannounced.
All right, let me see what else we've got here as far as questions. All right, Tyler has a question. Is the 1 in 3 unannounced coming from GFSI as a guidance for all audit schemes, or is this a BRC specific rule in response to the surveys of unannounced facilities?
No, it is. This is GFSI mandated. So every single GFSI benchmark scheme will need to put this in place. So there were some schemes that already had this in place previously, voluntarily, but now GFSI is basically saying that they see the value in it, and we all have to follow suit at this point.
Right. All right. Let me see. Next question here. All right, we have a question here from Colin. Colin says, what are the implications for some small companies where they may have, for instance, 2 managers who could be absent and 3 shop floor staff who are not fully conversant with the technical parts of the standard without that skill set, but are responsible for GMP and food safety?
So this is when planning really becomes extremely important. So going up to the unannounced audit, it's going to be crucial for sites to, one, make sure that they've given their CB a list of they get 10 dates where they're considered blackout dates where the audits cannot happen for whatever reason. So make sure those dates are given, and any other information like, you know, start times, shift schedules, any of those kind of patterns, you know, my advice is over communicate so that the certification bodies can make sure that they're looking at all of those things and giving you the best date possible.
All right, great. Let me see. Question here from Kim. Kim asks, can a company provide blackout dates in the 4-month unannounced audit window?
Yes, so they get 10 blackout dates.
All right, fantastic. Let's see. Shelley asks, for those who are certified already, when will the unannounced cycle start? 2023?
So, it could be as soon as 2022. So some sites, I would say for each certification body, 1/3 of sites are probably going to have an unannounced audit in 2022 because the protocol starts in 2021. So the 2021 audit will happen, and then within 3 months, your certification body will tell you if your next audit is unannounced. So there could potentially be approximately 1/3 of sites which are having unannounced audits in 2022.
All right, Christine is wondering, what is the cost of attending BRCGS America's virtual event?
That one's yours, Paula.
I'm so sorry, Amy, you cut out there for me. Could you repeat the question?
No problem. This one is from Christine. She's wondering, what's the cost of attending the BRCGS America's virtual event this year?
Okay, awesome. So if you take a look at our website, the prices do differ based on whether or not you are a general attendee, a student, if you want to go in for a particular corporate rate. So I invite you to go to www.brcgs.com/events, and then you can pick the specific application that applies to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Paula. Let's see. We have a question from Arpan. They are wondering if there are any updates on how remote audits went this year.
Well, I wouldn't say we have a firm grasp on an update that we can give you. They are taking place for sure. And I think the biggest thing to say is that we're still experimenting with different types of technologies. It's still sort of one of those things that we're getting used to. So it's definitely happening. And it's being used as a tool when, you know, GFSI certification just isn't an option anymore. And we're learning best practices. What I would say about that is that if anybody, one of the things we're doing is looking for feedback from companies who have done a lot of these remote audits and trying to find out what best practices are, what tools people are using, what went well, what didn't go well, and then hopefully we can sort of basically collect all this information and, maybe that will be a future webinar.
It's always possible. All right, we've got a question here from Angela. Angela's question is, since some manufacturing lines only run once a month, how will that work with unannounced audits, as the line can't just be started up immediately?
So this would be a situation where that would be something you need to communicate to your certification body. Obviously, if production only happens on certain days, it's really important that you tell them this is what time, these are the dates, so that they can plan accordingly. Because if you haven't communicated that and an auditor does show up and they're turned away, that's going to, there will be repercussions for you. So again, it's very much, and I can't stress it enough, about that communication piece and also making sure that you're updating the CB on a regular basis. So if you're a plant that or a site that production is continually changing and 1 month this was your schedule, but things have changed and now the next month you're doing something different, you need to make sure that it's not just you tell them at the beginning of the year what your schedule is and then and then you don't communicate again, you need to be sort of in constant communication with your CB to make sure that they can schedule appropriately.
All right, great. We've got a question here from Olympia. Olympia's wondering, is the 1 in 3 unannounced audit a full audit or a GMP audit?
It is a full audit. So all of the exact same requirements will apply for an unannounced audit as it will for an announced audit. One thing I should mention is that one of the requirements is that the on-site portion of the audit must take place, you know, basically within 30 minutes of the auditor arriving on site. So I would say that's sort of the only difference in terms of looking at requirements.
All right, great. We've got a question here from Pavel. What if you decide to work with another CB? Could you have your first unannounced audit the very first time you're working with the new CB?
You could potentially, but what I would say, what I will say is that the history of certification will be communicated to the new CB. So, you know, we work with a certain platform, and that platform basically lists, regardless of who your certification body is, lists, you know, whether the last audit was announced or unannounced, and that will be communicated to your CB. So, you know, for example, if, and I would hate to say that any site would do this, but if a site switched CBs because they're hoping, you know, that their next audit won't be an unannounced audit, that won't happen. You know, the CB will have visibility, and they'll know that, okay, you know, the next one needs to be unannounced, and they still will go with the unannounced audit at that point.
All right, great, thank you. I think we've got time for one more question before we wrap up for today. So this one is from Charlie. Charlie's wondering, will unannounced audits be taking place next year given the situation with COVID? We opted for a remote audit this year due to COVID and are concerned about the potential risks of having an auditor on site.
Yeah, so again, just keep in mind that even though the protocol comes into effect 2021, that part of it is just about the communication. So it is not likely that any unannounced audits are actually going to take place in 2021. It's just about the communication piece at that point. So, you know, by 2022, let's, you know, fingers crossed, we're in a better position. And that's when the unannounced audits will begin to take place.
All right, fantastic. Thank you all so much for such great questions. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to every single one of them. If you have some urgency with the question you had, please feel free to reach out to PGRFSI or BRCGS to get some clarification. I'll make sure to forward all of the questions that we didn't get to our presenters, just in case they want to respond to any of them directly. But any parting words of wisdom from our panel of speakers today?
No, I would just say thank you very much, everybody, for the engagement. This was a great session, and I'm happy that there were so many questions. And if you have any questions that we haven't answered, as Amy said, please feel free to reach out. We're happy to help.
Yeah, and absolutely. Just on behalf of PJRFSI, again, thanks, Jessica and Paula. And of course, Amy, we really appreciate your time. And again, happy holidays to everyone. Let's hope 2021 is a much better year for everyone.
All right. Thank you guys so much for attending. Thank you to Jessica and Paula for taking the time to come and be our guest presenters today. We hope to see everyone on the next webinar in the new year. So keep an eye out for that webinar list. Should be coming out in the next, I would say, next couple of weeks, hopefully, Paul. See what we can get arranged before or after the new year. So in any case, I hope you all have a great rest of your week. Stay safe, stay healthy, have a good and happy holiday season, and a good new year. Have a great day. See you all later.